back in the 1970s, the Pittsburgh Steelers had a legendary defense known as the Steel Curtain, right? The Steel Curtain. They gave up very few amount of points. They were ferocious. They won like 4 Super Bowls in a span of like 6 years, something like that. And the heart and soul of that defense was a linebacker by the name of Jack Lambert. We got a picture of him here. Look at this guy. I mean, he's half crazy. He's got that snarl just looking at you in the picture. When he was in high school, he was playing basketball and his front 4 teeth got knocked out. And he did get dentures that he could put in there to kind of fill the gaps, but he didn't wear them during football games. And so he just looked that much more gnarly, you know? Do you want that guy coming after you? Also, during the Super Bowl 1976, the Steelers kicker missed a field goal, and so the Dallas Cowboys defender came through, and he was getting up in the kicker's face, taunting him like this, and Jack Lambert came over, grabbed the guy, and just threw him to the ground. And they went on to win the Super Bowl that year because of the heart and soul of Jack Lambert. You know that I love you, my Pennsylvania friends, that I'm using this as a sermon illustration because I do not like the Pittsburgh Steelers, but I like you. So if you're wondering how can I do this, it's by the love of Jesus. But anyways, he was one of the greatest linebackers of all time, 6'4", 220 pounds of pure muscle. And do you know how his career came to an end? Something called turf toe. Turf toe. It's when your big toe gets hit enough in the ground. And back in those days, they had terrible turf that they played on. It was almost like cement. And it got hit enough times, aggravated and sprained enough times, he literally couldn't run anymore. And in still the prime of his career, he had to retire, all because of his toe. Just that much of his body stopped the rest of his body from doing the job that he was supposed to do. You know, the body is a delicate thing, isn't it? One thing that goes wrong in your body can make the whole rest of the body hurt. Like some of you here recently, a couple of folks in our church have broken their arm. I'm looking over at my wife. I'm looking at others. And one broken wrist can just change your whole life. How about a bad knee that has to have a replacement? It can change your whole life. What about one little disc in your back? It can set you out of commission for weeks. One little part can cause so much problem. The Lord has designed us so intricately for everything to work together. And yet when it's working, it's beautiful. Think of a Michael Jordan jump shot. You know, you got to go back a little ways. Our youth aren't here. They can't remember this, you know. But the rest of us can. You know, he's doing the whole, like, jump in the air like this, and his tongue is hanging out. And, like, every muscle in his body, every fiber of his being is concentrated on that release of the ball to go in the net. Everything's coordinated. Everything's working together. How about a hockey slap shot, right? They're on the slipperiest substance on earth, on pure ice, with 2 little blades of metal under their feet, and somehow they're keeping their balance enough to generate enough power to come through that puck and shoot into the net, which, by the way, go Hershey Bears. They have moved on to the next round of the playoffs. Those of you who are tracking the NHL playoffs, I think we need to say that the Penguins are on life support right now. They did win to avoid getting eliminated, but the Senators are out, right? Go Sabres versus Bruins. I mean, there's all kinds of battles right now in hockey. But how does the human body do all of that? God created us so wonderfully. And the same is true for the church body, the body of Christ, that he is the head and we are the parts of the body that he has arranged and put together so that even within this church family, Everything that God wants to accomplish in our community, everything he wants to accomplish in this day, in this time, is here with all of the parts that he has given us. If we all will play the role that God has given to us, if we'll function within our spiritual gifts that he's given us, and our talents, and our passions, what could happen in Mechanicsburg? What could happen in central Pennsylvania? What could happen as we send those whom we love to serve in places around the country or around the world, as we just highlighted earlier? We are in the middle of a sermon series this spring, walking through what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Now, every believer in Jesus must be a disciple. There are no true believers who aren't disciples following after Jesus. Why? Because it's not enough just to believe some facts about the Lord. Anybody can believe that, including in the book of James chapter 2. It says even demons believe all the same facts as believers do. But they're not saved. They're not walking with Jesus. It takes a heart that says, because I believe that, I am in. I'm following after him. I need him, and I want to become like him in every way. And so we have this working definition of what it means to be a disciple, and we're going to put it on the screen here and read this again together as we've done these last weeks. So read with me, what is discipleship? Discipleship is a lifelong, everyday journey of growing with Jesus, connecting with Jesus' family, and sharing Jesus with all the world. The wording on that could vary from church to church, but these concepts have to be there because it's part of what God has given us in his scripture, how we grow with Jesus and walk with him daily, how we connect and do life together with his people. There are no Lone Ranger Christians. And then sharing Jesus, engaging the world around us so that they would know that they have the opportunity to grow with him as well. And so as we've done that, we've put those three key words, growing, connecting, sharing, which are also part of our mission statement here at our church, onto a diagram. And it looks like this, like a Trivial Pursuit pie chart. But really what this means is there's three areas, the growing, connecting, and sharing, and each has a little bit of definition. That's what each of those wedges refers to. And the middle point is where grace enters your life. It's when Jesus comes and takes up residence in you, and he saves you, washes you clean of all your sin, and we become a new creation. And yet there's a growing and maturing process that has to happen in our lives in all of these three areas as we grow outwardly, further and deeper in our relationship with Christ, as we connect deeper with his family, and as we grow to share the Christ with the world around us. And so today, we're in the connecting section of that, the third of our messages on connecting, and this one is on serving the body of Christ. This is a way that we are connected because we all have the Spirit of God in us, and he is working through us, empowering us to serve him in ways that we could not have done before we knew the Lord. In fact, let me just give a definition of a spiritual gift. A spiritual gift is a way that the Holy Spirit who lives in you empowers you to serve the body of Christ so it may be built up. A spiritual gift isn't necessarily something that you have. It's a way that the Lord works through us and strengthens us and empowers us so that through his strength we can serve the body around us to be built up to maturity in Christ. There are as many as 25 spiritual gifts we see in Scripture. We're going to be referring to some of those as we go along. But let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, which is a whole chapter devoted to talking about this issue in the church of spiritual gifts. So we're going to be walking from verse 12 to the end of the chapter, and we're going to take it in four different sections that naturally form in this passage, and we'll take them one by one. So we'll start with just verses 12 and 13. It says, "The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is
with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. There's a simple truth that's found in these two verses, and it is this. The body is one. As it said in this version, in the New International Version, the body is a unit, but the concept is that the body is one. And in this concept, you might say, well, of course the body is one, but think about this. When you think of your body, you don't think of necessarily just an individual part, do you? Like, here's my thumb, this is my body. You would go, well, it's a part of my body, but it's not my whole body. In math, if I dust off my eighth grade algebra class math, you would say that there is a set of data, and then there are subsets of data. Is that correct, any of you mathematicians, that like the subsets are make up the whole when they're put together? Just like on, like, say my arm, I have five fingers, I have a palm, I have a wrist, I have an arm, I have an elbow, which, by the way, I have a cool human trick. When I was younger, I was in wrestling, and by wrestling, it bruised up my elbow really bad, and it made me have really droopy elbow skin. So if you ever want to, like, come see my elbow skin, you can't just tug on it. You got to ask permission. But but this is a subset of my body. It's only part of it, but when you take all the parts together, it becomes one whole. Yeah, you weren't expecting that, were you? Yeah, I didn't think so. you know, I got to keep everyone on their toes a little bit. But why is that important? So that no part of the body gets a big head. That we think we're all that. And God's saying, no, listen. You need to understand that at the foot of the cross, the ground is level. No one is higher, no one is lower. We are all equal, and we need to understand that we all, as we're put together, we make one, but no one of us can thrive on our own, go out on our own, handle everything alone. We are one. And verse 13 makes that very clear, that what he's saying is you didn't get into this on your own, so therefore you don't stay in it on your own. You're not all that by yourself. Verse 13 says, we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. The Holy Spirit is who brought us into the family of God. He convicted us of our sin. He showed us the truth of the gospel so we could believe. He opened our hearts to receive that truth and believe. And so, if he has done that work to draw us in, it wasn't because of our pedigree, our race, our education, our financial status, as he says, Jews or Greeks or slave or free. It's not any of those things. We were all given one Spirit to drink. And so it's by him that we came to faith. It's by him that we're now qualified to be in the body and to be able to serve in the body. The body, all the parts of the body work together as one, and we are at equal footing at the foot of the cross. Then we move to verses 14 through 20. Just because we're all one doesn't mean we do the same thing. And so look at these verses with me. We have a different role, each of us. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, well, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, wouldn't that be weird? Where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, oh, that'd be even worse. Where would our sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. I think the imagery of this is fantastic. You know, he uses the example of the eye or the ear, and what if we were all eyes, or what if we were all ears? I would want to use the analogy of feet.
What if we were all feet walking around here? Would that be really strange? First of all, we'd be stepping on everyone's toes. And it would be, it would really stink to be part of this church. Imagine that, how strange that would look if all we saw were a bunch of feet in this room. He says, no, we got to realize that we all have a different part to play. And a part can't say, well, because I'm not like that, then I must not belong here. Because I don't sound that way or I don't do those exact things, then I don't have a place here. No, he says, all of us have a place. We have a role to play. Every part is needed except the appendix. I'm not sure why we have to have the appendix that half of us get taken out at some point along the way. But don't you start to appreciate the other parts of your own body, as we kind of mentioned earlier, when something goes wrong? If you've ever had lockjaw and you can no longer speak or eat the same, if you've ever had a hip replaced, if you've ever twisted your ankle, you no longer take those parts for granted. Listen, every person in the church is needed. Every part, every function, every person in this church who plays a different role, it's needed. Let's take that body example, that analogy, and apply it to the church. What if we were all gifted the same and doing the same thing? Like, what if we were all greeters? I love our greeters. They make people feel welcome. They're part of a hospitality heart and mindset where we want people to be loved and noticed here because Jesus loves them and notices them. He sees them. So we want people to be seen as they come in the building. And so there's a real heart for that. But what if we were all greeters and we all came in the building and we all went to a different door in the church and stood there. And every time someone walked by, we would go, hello, good morning. Great to have you here this morning. Hello, good morning. And every door in the church would be stationed with somebody there, but no one would come into worship, and no one would go into the classes to be taught God's word. And it would get really strange when you think about the bathrooms. Like, hello, good morning. Like, we don't need greeters at the bathrooms. What if we were all worship leaders? Oh, I love the team that God has put together of worship leaders. My favorite look is the Jesse Schwamm beard, you know, right there. Brother, you got it. It's been longer before. But if we were all worship leaders, I think we would all just kind of sit around with our guitars like Jesse, and we'd play our guitars and we would sing, and the guys would get long beards that just keep growing. Ladies, maybe we could say your hair just grows really long. And we'd all just be singing to Jesus. And like, how would the bills ever get paid in the church? And how would anything get cleaned here in the church? We were like, we don't even care about that stuff. We're just being with Jesus. It's so important. But if we all did that, it wouldn't work. What if we were all gifted with compassion and mercy, which is an incredible gift? We all should have compassion, but there are people gifted with compassion whose heart sees those needs in the community or sees the needs in the church and just moves toward them with an extra kind of strength and love by the Spirit of God in them. And what if everyone had such a gift of compassion and mercy that we could never make a decision in the church? Because we'd say, oh, I don't want to pick the color of carpet because it might hurt someone's feelings. And like we would never be able to make a decision. We all have a role to play. And verse 18 just makes it so clear to me. It says, but in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Can you hear that this morning for yourself? If you've ever struggled with why am I gifted this way and others are gifted that way, and why? Listen, this destroys three things that are a problem in the church family in these ways that can cause divisions. Number one, it destroys gift envy. I want their gift. I think I should have that, but I only have this. It destroys, secondly, the inferiority complex of your gifts. I must not be worth that much. I must not be that important because I don't have what that person has. It also destroys gift projection. Those are the spiritual things, and those are the unspiritual things. No. In all of the ways that God has formed us, put us together with our personalities, our natural talents, our heart passions, and especially our spiritual gifts, the ways that the Holy Spirit wants to work through us, we need to understand that each of us has a unique role to play. And if we're not playing the role that we're supposed to have, then think of Jack Lambert, who had to retire early because the toe wouldn't cooperate with the rest of the body. We need to work together. And so I'm so grateful that we have greeters at the doors. And we have hospitality people and those who care for the, like, even having some coffee and some refreshments. I'm so glad we have discipleship hour teachers and people who take care of the needs in our building and those who serve with English classes, which, by the way, the year end was yesterday, a celebration for the English classes that we have to serve the people in our community who need to be loved with the love of Jesus, who have moved from other countries to this place. I love that we have people who serve with New Hope Ministries in town, which is a compassion-oriented ministry. I love that we have treasurers who track the details and steward God's resources. We need all of these parts, and when we work together, God is honored, and his ministry can move forward. Well, let's move to the next set of verses, which is 21 through 26, and they have some overlap here, but this is the idea that no part is unimportant. It says, the eye cannot say to the hand, hey, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. And I could hear the feet going, really? So how are you going to get around? You do need me. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Hear that. The parts that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we got to treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while the presentable parts need no special treatment. They've got all that they need. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. For instance, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. How many have experienced that? One part of your body is suffering and your whole body suffers with it. How about the other way? If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Do you hear the oneness, the togetherness we are to have and to hold on to own that no part is unimportant? And I want to speak into this just for a moment about the way that sometimes people's mentality is that, well, the pastors should do all of the ministry, and I don't need to because I'm not a professional. I didn't go to school for this. I don't have anything that's going to really make a difference. Let's just address that for a moment. Not just because I'm a pastor. I have spiritual gifts, and I use them, and I'm grateful for that opportunity. But to think that a pastor or a group of pastors here at our church, we have four on our staff. One is a developmental role, and we're so glad to be able to have that as part of our ministry here. If the assumption was that the pastors should do all the ministry, it's not only wrong practically, it's also wrong biblically. Why? Practically, could one person or a couple of people do all the ministry that's needed in a church? I don't physically have enough energy or time in the day to do it all, and please don't put that burden on me. It's not fair to anyone. They'll burn out. They also don't have all the spiritual gifts that are needed, and so it's impossible. That would mean all the ministry of the church funnels down into this little bottleneck. You ever done a Heinz 57 ketchup where the bottle is nice and big, like the old glass bottle? Remember the glass bottle, not the squirty ones now. But at the top, there's this little bottleneck, and you turn the ketchup over,
And how long does it take for that to come out? Right? You're supposed to like tap it on the 57 to make it, not on the back, but on the 57. It's supposed to go a little quicker. It takes forever. Just think practically how much ministry would get constricted down to a small little nozzle if it had to be just a few people. That's not the way that God designed for ministry to go. It's to be spread out and multiplied into hundreds and thousands of people all around to carry the work of ministry. Biblically, it's also wrong because Ephesians 4 tells us very clearly, and I take this very seriously in my role and our staff, we talk about this, is how can we get the ministry into the hands of other people? So Ephesians 4 says that God gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers and all these leadership kinds of roles. And then it says this, so that the body of Christ may be built up. The works of ministry now go into the hands of the people. The leadership equips the people so that the body will do the work of ministry. If we're not doing equipping ministry, we have failed our job. Our job is to equip you. And if we equip you and empower you, then now we have untold multiplication, exponential capacity in our church. Right? So what if we invest in you? What if we work together with you? What if we help all of you find a place? Now we can do so much more. That's the biblical model of how the body should do the work of ministry. If we try to do it all, we're robbing you of the joy of ministry. You should have the joy of getting to serve the Lord. You might say, well, that sounds like a lot of work. I'm not sure I want to do that. Listen, as you grow with Jesus and you've got him in you, you go, I gotta do something about this. And I want others to have this opportunity. And I see my brother or my sister in Christ who I love. I want to move toward them. I want to help them. I see this child who's been brought into our church family. I want to invest in that child so he can grow to know the Lord. It's what we do together that makes all the difference. So with that, you might go, well, then does that mean anybody can serve in any role? Well, no, there are leadership roles or roles of higher influence and responsibility in the church that come by character and maturity and relationship. If you go to Titus chapter 3, it outlines qualifications for an elder, qualifications for a deacon. And so there are there's that establishment of certain ones with character and reputation to serve in certain roles. But nowhere in Scripture does it say you have to achieve that before you can serve. Even someone who just came to Christ yesterday has the Holy Spirit in their heart and is qualified to serve in some way. All of us can serve the Lord in some way. And then you might ask a question, what about different seasons of my life? Are there certain seasons where what if I can't serve because I'm a stay-at-home mom? I can't serve the same way as I did before I had kids. Or what if you're getting older and physically your body just wears out quicker and it's just harder? Yeah, there's going to be a different season, and your ministry might change over time depending on your availability. I will say that I am so grateful for the praying godly folks who cannot serve the way they used to with their hands, but they serve the Lord with their heart and pray for our people and pray for the ministry and pray for our community faithfully. That is needed in every way, just as much as anyone else's role. Remember, no part is unimportant. We all have this role to play. And it says in here that we should honor the different parts. And so I'm going to just shine a few highlights on some ministries that don't always get the limelight. And as I do this, I don't want you to go, oh, well, he didn't pick my ministry. Or, oh, I wish I could be highlighted like that. My heart in this is to say, no, as we celebrate and highlight a few ministries and a few people in ministries, this is shining a light on us all. It's a celebration of us all, the way that God has equipped us and the way that he's mobilized us to serve in ministry. And I pray that it would just increase your desire to see the Lord honored and Jesus served in our midst. So let me just highlight a couple of things. This past Wednesday night was our closing of our Awana year. Awana is the Wednesday night ministry for our kids. And it starts with young ones. It goes all the way up through fifth grade. And it was so fun on Wednesday night to have all the different groupings of kids, depending on their age group, coming up here, and they're singing and they're reciting verses. And, you know, like the youngest ones, you got like one over here that's like picking their nose. And then like one who's shouting everything because they just dutifully want to show that they know their verses. And you know, so you just had like from young ones all the way on up. It doesn't all go away when they get like fifth grade. You still have a few of those who are like, huh? you know who your kid is. Yep, you know. And I just so appreciate the team that has invested in those kids over this past year. They go the whole kind of school year pattern, thankfully ending, you know, with about a month earlier than school lets out. Gives everyone just a little bit of break as spring is coming here. But this program really helps kids memorize scripture and put it in their hearts so that they'll continue with that as they grow up into their older years. And they make friends, and there's godly adults and teenagers actually who serve in this program as well that are modeling this life that a kid would know, you know, church is safe, church is a place I was loved, and I have some godly role models in my life. A kid might not be able to verbalize those things, but those things are what's forming in their mind as they go to programs like that. And we're, 8 months, 9 months of that settles in the kid's formation. We have kids coming to that don't even go to our church. They don't go to any church. Maybe kids that have a little bit of chaotic home life, and they come here and they're seeing Jesus. And kids pray to receive Jesus this year in our Awana programs, kids who didn't know the Lord before. Now, the one program I want to highlight is the Cubbies. They're the youngest, well, second youngest group. There's the Puggles that are even younger, but the Cubbies are one I want to highlight because I got to go this year. Every year I get to be part of they invite me down to come into the classrooms and try to answer the questions of the kids, and they try to stump me, and it's tough. But the Cubbies are the cutest because they're just like, hey, will you eat snack with me? And like, here, come sit down. And we just have a blast getting to talk. So there's a leadership team in there of like Liz Stelzer, Jess Coles, Lori Peters, Jane Diller, and Sarah Oakley. Did I get the whole team? Is that everybody? Missing anybody? Who? I got them all. Okay, good. And my favorite is when they do the puppet show. Every Wednesday night, they do a puppet show for the kids where Sarah Oakley goes out in the hallway, and they have one of those doors that can stay shut on the bottom but open in the top. You guys know what I'm talking about? It's like cut in half. And there's a little puppet display they put in that window. And sometimes I'm walking down in the hallway while this is happening, and I just stop, and I'm just like, I'm grinning at Sarah from the side, and she's like, stop it. And she's trying to do her puppets, and she's got like a sheep on one hand and a, I don't even know what's on the other hand. And what is it? A cubby bear. So, oh, because it's cubbies. And her voices are awesome. She's like, well, hello, kids. It's time for our cubbies. And I'm like, to do that for the Lord is awesome. I do have a video of it, but we're not going to show it this morning, Sarah. If any of you want to see that video, you can come talk to me. It's on my phone. And I made sure we did this after the kids were already gone and dismissed, so the jig is not up. Like they'll never know that it's you behind that door. Anyways, serving the Lord by puppet voices, and the kids are getting the word in their heart. Right? So cool. This is the body of Christ at work. Another one. So we have, a property building and outside we have landscaping and things. Hats off to our trustees. I call them our trustees. Their job is to take care of the building and grounds, and Justin Biggs heads up this crew of guys who do that. 2 weeks ago, we had a work day outside where new mulch was spread around, and a lot of volunteers from the church came out to do that. Pulled out a huge chunk of overgrown bushes on one side, and new grass is going to get planted in that area, and they're just taking care of things. Just want to say I appreciate all of you who care about even those details. Going back to the whole greeter thing, It says something how we care for our property and how we care for our building. It says this place cares about their building, they must care about people. Or imagine the reverse. If we don't care about our building, we don't care about how we're organized or how neat things look, we must not really care much about people or about our ministry. Do you see how the correlation? It's not everything, but it's something. It says something. And along with that, there's an auxiliary little ministry done by someone in our church who takes care of the planter beds in the front around the sign and then along the side of the building over here, the plants and the flowers and the bushes that people see. And I just want to thank Chris Vizicaro, who has taken that role and who comes in at hours you don't see, that I don't see even, and she pulls weeds and she tears out things that are dying and she puts new things in and waters during the summer when it's dry and just does it because she wants to serve the Lord. It's kind of like, you know, think of a part of your body that you don't think about very much until it's acting up. And then you're like, oh, I'm so glad for that part of the body that's serving this way. It's a heart of servanthood for the Lord. I want to highlight one more, and this is the area of our computer team, our tech team that works on Sunday mornings, and I'm going to invite Evan Miller to come to the front. And where did the microphone? That's right here. So everybody say hi to Evan. If you said hi to Evan, those exact words, you're being too literal. Hi, Evan, is what I meant for you to say. Evan, we appreciate you and your wife, Rachel. Rachel's in our works in our office as our administrator. She has been since last summer. Super grateful for you guys. Evan, what ministries of the church do you currently serve in right now?
Yeah, so about once a month, I'll be out by I'll do the computer for the live stream and slides, and then I also help with the sports and banquet. I help with VBS, and then often I help with setting up and tearing down like sanctuary and tables and chairs.
Okay, so Evan is active. He loves to jump into things, and so let's kind of pick this apart a little bit. Recently, you did a spiritual gifts assessment. As part of a group, and you had these assignments to do these kinds of things, and so you filled out an online assessment that just asked questions about your life and how you're serving and how the Lord works through the way you're serving. What were the results of your spiritual gifts assessment?
Yeah, so my top four results was serving, administration, hospitality, and helps. So for me, because I didn't know the difference between serving and helps, I have definitions. serving generally refers to broad, often ongoing practical tasks within the church, while helps usually involves specific support that liberates others to focus on their own primary ministries. So all four of those, I guess, spiritual gifts that I got as a result, like aligned, I think, with what I see in my life and how I serve, but especially just the serving and the helps. Both of those are just important to me.
Yeah, okay, so can you relate those to the ministries you just listed off a bit ago? How do you see your spiritual gifts coming to play with the things that you're doing? I know that's not a question I specifically set you up for, so you might have to like think about that. But yeah, what do you see as the correlation there?
Well, starting with like the serving and how it's the ongoing practical tasks. So I think one in terms of setting up chairs, taking down chairs, but also just being at the computer, as very practical things that need to get done, but also with the helps, which is liberating others, I'm able to help with stuff like that to take pressure off of other people. So,
okay, so let's pull on that thread because that is something I think you want to share about is, my question maybe could be formed like this. Why is it important to you? Why does it resonate with your heart to do tasks that maybe others wouldn't see or wouldn't realize need to be done? Why do you want to step in to do that? What is your heart behind that?
Yeah, so kind of recently I've been kind of like stepping into part of like what is my life purpose? And a big part of that is that I'm able to do tasks and like just I'm able to do things and I enjoy doing it. But it's also, I like being able to take tasks and stress off of other people to see ministries just be more efficient and more effective.
Okay, so take Sunday morning with the computer slides. How does that play out then?
Yeah, so if I am able to do that to how I want to be able to do it, and I can have the slides up, I can be back there, hopefully be able to maybe fix some little issues or anything. It takes some pressure off the worship leaders, but I can also just try to make the words and everything are up there for everyone that's in here actually worshiping, and then being able to put that into live stream as well, everyone who is unable to be here.
Yeah. Isn't that cool to like see that correlation? One last question I think everyone could relate to is, what's the story? How this came to be in your life that you care about that? Would you be willing to share a little bit about that? Because we all have a journey, and the Lord forms us in that journey, and we discover the ways he wants to use us. Where did this come from in your life?
So I think a big part of it is that I grew up in the church as a pastor's kid. So I was always there, and I always enjoyed helping my dad and just other leaders and other people in that church with just being able to get things done. Like, I helped slides probably when I was starting at, like, 12 years old at that church. I would run the microphone around during church services when we did prayer times. So it was just stuff like that. I enjoyed getting able to take that pressure off of him and other people and being able to be active even at that young age.
Yeah. Isn't that cool? You have a story, and you have ways that God is bringing certain things to the forefront for you, combined with the ways he's gifting you. And I also have told Evan, I've affirmed him to say, your dad was a pastor, but you don't feel the pressure to have to preach, to have to follow in exactly your dad's footsteps. I mean, I have 4 kids. They have their own journey, and I want them to have the journey that God has for them. But your dad didn't put that pressure on you either, and he's allowed you to have the journey you have, and you're thriving in the gifting that you have. That doesn't have to be like someone else. It's your journey. And so thank you for serving the Lord like that. Can we just show our appreciation to Evan? And right there, he's putting the microphone away. He said, I got it, just as he was walking away. So right there, it's like on display right now. Folks, these are some of the unsung heroes in our church. Celebrate that in your heart to say, God, thank you for what you're doing. You're raising people up. And even with eyes of faith, go, Lord, what might you have for me to be doing? What are the little things I can do? Maybe they're going to be big things one day, but even now, what are the little things you can be doing to serve the Lord that will make an impact in places that maybe people will never know it was you? Maybe most people won't understand, but you get to step in and play a role that helps move the mission forward. Let's go to our very last portion, which is verses 27 to 31. And as we get to this part, it's this idea of getting going in your gifts, that God has appointed us all for ministry. And you're going to hear a listing of different roles and different giftings. Know that while there's about 8 or so mentioned here, there's about 25 in Scripture. This is only a partial list. But listen to how there's like a movement here. It says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And in the church, God has, do you hear this word? Appointed. He has said from on high, go and do this. He's appointed, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, and those having gifts of healing, and those able to help others, and those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? The answer is no. But eagerly desire the greater gifts. And the greater gifts are ones that, if in the context of these chapters, that are about being able to verbally put into words that can be understood the message of Christ.
So these are the things that are listed off: apostles, prophets, teachers, healing, and there's so many more we see in Scripture. But here's the call. Lean in. Step into what God has for you. And if you're wondering, well, what do I even do? I've got some practical things to just end with this message that God has appointed you to get going. First thing, if you're wondering, where do I start? We have a class that has just launched called Finding Your Place to Serve. And it's a class that meets on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. It just started today, which means you could go next week and get in on week two. It's okay if you missed week one. Jeff Lauro is teaching that class, and he could catch you up. Right, Jeff? He goes, yep. Okay. And here's also an example of spiritual gifts and how people are using them in the body. This is a class that I used to teach that I didn't have a lot of time and space to be able to teach at the 9 o'clock hour. And so Jeff was like, I'll teach it, so can you equip me? So we did it together last fall, and now this spring he's leading it by himself. And there's multiplication. Someone with the giftings that God gave them is stepping forward and saying, I'll lead it. So we want you to know, you can go to that class. Can you put this here on the screen just so people can see the name of the class again? The Finding Your Place to Serve class. 9 o'clock, look in your bulletin. It should be listed there. And what it'll do is walk you through a series of assessments to build a 5-part profile of how God has wired you. And then at the end, you'll get to meet with someone to personally help you walk through that and then find a good place to step in. You'll get coached into a good place to serve. A next thing you can do is to take a spiritual gifts assessment. It's part of that class. So if you're doing, if you want to jump into that class, you missed week one, it's actually the homework for week two, is to go and take a spiritual gifts assessment. But even if you're not going to take the class, I want to encourage you to take one. It's not a test, it's an assessment. You know the difference? There's not a pass-fail. It's just helping you discern by asking you a series of, I think it's like 125 questions most of them have. We actually have one that's available. It's out there. We didn't create this, but we have a link to it on our website. If you go to the bottom of our homepage and look on the bottom right corner, we have a spot for resources. And there's a spot there that says Spiritual Gifts Assessment. Click on it. It takes you to a third-party thing, its own ministry, and they will walk you through that. And there's no cost to it at all. When's the last time you took one? Maybe you've never taken one before. Then you need to. Maybe it's been 5 years since you took one, or 10 years. You need to go back and take one again, because you get better understandings of the way that God wants to use you in ministry as time goes on. And so it's valuable to do that. I took this again this week preparing for this, and it nailed my top ones. My gifts are teaching, leadership, administration, and shepherding. And I'm like, yep, I've known those for years, and it just nailed that again for me. And so whatever gifts you have, it will help bring it to the surface. No assessment is perfect. The questions, sometimes you're like, oh my goodness, they're asking this again. It's okay, just take it and see what comes out at the end. Take it as best you can. Last thing I want to put out here is consider some current top needs. You might have heard Pastor Dwayne mention this morning, there's special summer interest groups that are forming, and consider leading one of those. It's a way to have people connect, just to build relationships, but it needs someone who will say, I'll do one. How about being that person? I also talked to Mandy Stein this week, who is our kids ministry director. And Mandy, yeah, I saw a hand start clapping. Mandy's awesome. She's been almost a year in her role, and she said, top needs I have are big. Number one, VBS coming up in 2 months. I need people to jump in and serve. You can go on the serving tab of our website, click on there, and you can register to serve. Or you can just talk to Mandy. She's cool. All right. Second thing she said is very urgent. The Sunday morning classrooms that we have downstairs, what's happening right now for the little kids to the elementary kids, they're in need of people who will step into a rotation, who will do once a month on Sunday mornings for one of the age levels of the classes. Can I tell you, folks, Mandy is down there almost every Sunday. She shouldn't be. We want to have enough teams that Mandy can be like, awesome, it's set, it's going. I can come up here and I can worship with my church family. I can sit and hear a sermon. It should never be that Mandy is always downstairs filling in gaps. Can I get an amen on that? Really, and go thank her this morning for her ministry. So she's filling in gaps. There's a teacher who's on twice a month who said, I'll do that this year, but please find the other person for me. We haven't found that person yet. So Will you step in? Talk to Mandy about how you can fill roles. Yes, you have to go through the safe place policy. Go through all of your clearances. And we have policies about all that. Yes, it has to be a right fit to be serving with kids. But a lot of folks might say, I'm not gifted with kids. There's no spiritual gift of kids. You have a spiritual gift of encouragement or of teaching or what other things like that, even administration. You could step in and help in some way with kids. May God use us. May we not be the Jack Lambert of churches that has to stop ministry or stumble through ministry because of a toe that won't jump in and do what it needs to do. So how is God leading you so that his ministry can be done? Let's pray as we conclude. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the times we've had to worship you and all the different community elements we had of a dedication and a missions highlight and, Lord, the ways that you're working in our midst. And as we hear what you're saying in this message, Lord, I pray that each one of us would have that nudge by the Spirit to just reevaluate. Am I serving in the ways that God wants me to? Am I saying no where he wants me to say yes? Am I overcommitted in some ways where I'm not doing the best things that he wants me to be doing? And whatever it would look like, maybe even someone who's here this morning that says, I need to jump in. I've been sitting on the sidelines, but I need to jump in. Would you nudge us and speak to us where we need to hear you? Lord, bless us as we go. May we walk with you in this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go in grace and peace.